This morning, the topic for this morning was planned specifically for Youth Day. And Sundri Radha and I went over some different possible topics, this and that, and this topic was selected, which isn't exactly on the theme of prayer, but that's okay. It's something that was thought between the two of us, this would be relevant for our youth who are not fully here yet. But it's a good topic. This detached caring is a phrase that I've come to appreciate or adopt. And it has to do with, on the one hand, a natural quality of compassion. That's a characteristic of the mode of goodness. People who are not terribly steeped in ignorance and passion, some degree of goodness, they have compassion. And on the other side, so that's the caring part. And then the detached part is how a transcendentalist displays caring. Not an easy balance. So the verse that I wanted to speak from, for starters, like a springboard, is this one. It's part of Krishna's instructions to Uddhava, chapter 20. And the message of chapter 20 is the superiority of bhakti compared to knowledge and detachment. So beyond the detachment of those who are situated in knowledge, that is, minimally, aham brahmasmi, I'm not this body, and with that, some detachment from the temporary, bhakti goes beyond that. Not just detachment, but also profound caring. Like our founder Acharya, we'll hear a little bit how he exhibited detached caring in different ways. Sometimes puzzling. Let's chant responsibly. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Yadrichchaya matkathadau jata shraddhastuya puman na nirvino nati sakto bhakti yogasya siddhidha. One more time. Yadrichchaya matkathadau jata shraddhastu yapuman na nirvino nati sakto bhakti yogosya siddhida. I'm going to skip the word for word. We'll just go to the translation here. If somehow or other, by good fortune, one develops faith in hearing and chanting my glories, such a person, being neither very disgusted nor attached to material life should achieve perfection, should achieve perfection, should achieve perfection through the path of loving devotion to me. And the purport by Gopi Pranadana Prabhu and little editing work from Pridayananda Maharaj, my understanding from Dravida Prabhu, these, the main translator and commentator and synonyms creator is Gopi Pranadana Prabhu, because Dravida did the editing and he knows. In any case, purport. If somehow or other, this word yadrichchaya is very curious. Inexplicably, somehow or other, there's a cause and effect. But what's causeless cause? So, the mercy of a devotee is causeless mercy. What's the cause of that causeless mercy? It's just devotees are merciful. Somehow or other. It's an inherent quality of the soul. So if a compassionate Vaishnav exhibits compassion, you know, it's okay if they're compassionate. Why somebody over here and somebody over there don't receive it? Like, you know, people that are in lower Slavovia, you know, how are they going to get association with a devotee? Or any one of us? Like, we just happen to be in the right place in the right time at Yadrichchaya. Some mercy came and then somehow or another we said yes. We might have waited a while before we said yes. Let me think about it. But it's somehow or other. It's an important word. Besides, it's interesting. Yadrichchaya. Causeless mercy. Yadrichchaya. If somehow or other one gets the association of pure devotees of the Lord, and hears from them the transcendental message of Lord Krishna, then one has the chance to become a devotee of the Lord. As mentioned in the previous verse, those who become disgusted with material life take to impersonal philosophical speculation and rigorously try to stamp out any trace of personal existence. Those who are still attached, the other side, those who are still attached to material sense gratification try to purify themselves by offering the fruits of their ordinary activities to the Supreme, Karma Yoga. Karma Pala Tyag, detached work. A first-class candidate for pure devotional service, on the other hand, is neither completely disgusted with nor attached to material life. He does not desire to pursue ordinary material existence any further because it cannot award real happiness. Nevertheless, a candidate for devotional service does not give up all hope for perfecting personal existence. No, implied, I'm assuming here it means on the material side. There's still some hope to have, like, you know, a happy life, or a comfortable life, or a good life, or a whatever, a reasonable life. A person who avoids the two extremes of material attachment and impersonal reaction to material attachment, and who somehow or other gets the association of pure devotees, that's this Yadrichchaya again, faithfully hearing their message is a good candidate for going back home, back to Godhead, as described here by the Lord. Important instruction. In Madhurya Kadambini, in Madhurya Kadambini, this is a book by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, where he's describing the nine stages of bhakti. And when he describes the stage of removal of impurities from the heart, anarjana vritti, he lists six different kinds of unsteadiness, anishtita, bhakti, before becoming nishtha, steady. And in between is removal of impurities or anarthas within the heart. So the first one is utsaha. We know that word from Rupa Goswami. Enthusiasm. Mayi. Utsaha mayi. False enthusiasm. Hey, I'm bhakta somebody or other. I got it. I'm there. I heard a class by Bhakti Chaitanya Swami describing this. He told a nice story. One time when George Harrison was visiting the Bhaktivedanta Manor, who he had donated to ISKCON, he donated to Prabhupada, then he donated to ISKCON, he came to visit after the devotees had moved in, and he wanted to see how the devotees were utilizing this property. So we came in a big limousine and got out of the limousine, and one bhakta saw him coming. He had, you know, a little kirtan to receive him. And he prostrated himself, full obeisances, right in the puddle. His dhoti got completely soaked and muddied, and George said, "You didn't have to do that." Utsaha mayi. Or the classic that's described is like a young boy who just begins school and he thinks, "I've already mastered all my studies." Overconfidence in attaining the goal. Mayi. Utsaha mayi. I'm giving that example because, or the reference from Madhurya Kadambini, because it's not surprising, it's reasonable, it's even predictable, that when somebody becomes absorbed or, you know, participates initially in spiritual life, there's a tendency to just reject. Because we've been too absorbed in the temporary, and so just reject it, like trash it. Don't speak to your parents. Don't, you know, just drop out and harumph to your material life. It's utsaha mayi. It's a false. One doesn't have the adhikar, the qualification for that, nor is that even the eligibility for pure devotional service. It's, you have to go beyond that false position. Then you can go to the other side. Too much attachment makes it difficult. So what's the in-between, the pure devotee, the goal of bhakti is shuddha, become free from contamination. And so it's a natural quality to for the soul to have feelings. Nirvita discussed this yesterday about Queen Kunti's prayer and her prayer that sounds like, you know, let me give up my attachment for my sons and my father's family. The circumstance is Krishna is leaving because Kurukshetra battle is over. Yudhisthira is installed as the throne. The funerals are done. Grandfather Bhishma has departed. It's time to go back to Dwarka. So he's about to get on the chariot and go back to Dwarka. She doesn't want him to go back to Dwarka. She wants him to stay and be with her and be with her sons. He gives reasons. Many. Yes, my son is now the king. That's very nice. There's going to be enmity because a lot of people were killed during the battle and they're going to want to be in a get-back mood and you have to come back again anyway, so just stay. You know, protect us. Just stay. We want your association. But if you stay, then the affection from my father's family, the Vrishnis, her father and all of the dynasty from which, in which she was born, they'll be without your association. So I don't want them to be pained by the absence of your association. So go or stay. It's painful or it's painful. It's painful or it's painful. If you're too attached on the material side, it's too painful. Whether it's this or that. And, you know, she's Queen Kunti. She is speaking on our behalf. She's not an ordinary Prabhu. She's speaking as if she is. All throughout her prayers. All throughout her prayers. She's on the topmost. Well, she recognizes Mother Jasoda as topmost, but she's on the topmost position. She's a pure devotee. She's not striving to become a pure devotee. She's a pure devotee. She's a pure devotee. But she's speaking as if she's not to teach us. Please take away the material portion of my attachment so that all that remains is the spiritual portion of my attachment. Interesting. So caring, she cares about her son, she cares about her father's family, it's natural. Prabhupada writes, she's not praying, take away my feelings. Prabhupada's explanation is, if you have no feelings, you're a dead stone. She's not wishing to become a dead stone. She's not on this other side of detachment. Chuck 'em, forget it, my sons and my father and the whole family and, you know, how I go. I'm out of here. Not that. That's impersonal. But I'm feeling attachment on the material side. So she's praying for the detachment while still caring. Yes? Not easy. It's easy to say it. But it's not easy to do it. And it's not easy to do it because we're not there yet. You know, we have attachment. So, but this verse is teaching a candidate for that pure devotional service, achieving perfection, is where there's neither too much on this side and too much on that side. That's a candidate. So this translation says, and will achieve perfection, the one that's in the version that I read from is, you should achieve perfection. Somebody did some improvement in the editing. But could achieve perfection, is eligible, this eligibility. Adhikar is the Sanskrit term. We're eligible not just because someone can be eligible, this bhakta in the Bhaktivedanta manner. He was eligible for devotional service. Just, you know, a little over-enthusiastic on the detachment side. Unnecessarily. You didn't have to do that. Show respect, but you don't throw yourself in a puddle. I'm detached. So, it's not exactly a balance. I'm a little uncomfortable when people ask, how do you balance these things? Because it's not exactly balance, it's purification. I mean, maybe in the beginning it's balance because you have to manage this and that. The attachment, the detachment, the caring, and striving to become attached to Krishna. You know, the solution is simple, in principle. It's bhakti. Bhakti is the solution because the good news, according to Lord Kapila Dev, is the attachment that arises from ignorance and driven by false ego, all of that can be dissolved. The whole of false ego and the whole subtle body can be dissolved by bhakti. Like an Alka-Seltzer commercial or something. It gets dissolved. It's gone. And if, when it's gone, what's left is like Kunti's prayer. It's spiritual attachment, spiritual conception of self, spiritual intelligence, spiritualized mind. Dravida Prabhu yesterday was describing the necessity of faith, because that's in this verse. Faith, shraddha, jata, means arises. Faith arises or awakens. Ja. It arises or awakens. In what? Mat katha. Because it's Krishna speaking to Uddhava. Topics about Krishna. Faith in topics about Krishna. And where does that come from? Yadrichchaya. Somehow receiving the causeless mercy of a devotee. Pure devotee. Prabhupada. As an emissary of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Causeless mercy. Somehow we just were in the right place at the right time and we got some causeless mercy. And he just somehow said, yeah. That's important, you have to say yeah. Because lots of people had that causeless mercy and they didn't say yeah. And therefore, they remain attached. And they may be compassionate, but attached compassionate. Not this kind. Now, here's an example from Srimad Bhagavatam of very exalted devotee, Jambavan. Very special person. He was present from the very, very beginning. Little research on his life is he was there from practically the beginning of creation. He watched Vishnu kill Madhu and Kaitava. According to the scripture, the Puranic teaching and details about his life. And he was like jubilant. And then, what to speak way back then, even he was present during Ramchandra's time. Now, this is during Krishna's time. He's one of these Chiranjiva personalities, lived so long. And attached, along with Hanuman, one of the great devotees of Lord Ramachandra. He wasn't like a sadhaka. But this pastime is enacted to teach us a lesson, it's my understanding. And the lesson is, although he's a pure devotee of the Lord, when Krishna came seeking out the Shamantaka jewel, the nurse that was looking after Jambavan's child screamed.
Ah!
Jambavan heard the scream. Maybe louder than that. And he came because he was attached to his child. And he didn't even recognize Krishna. And he challenged Krishna to battle. Get out. I'll destroy you. Battle. Jambavan. Practically invincible in his strength. Where do he get the strength from? From Krishna. So Krishna's having this wonderful exchange from his side, from Krishna's side. A battle with his own devotee. A battle with his own, that doesn't look nice. But it was, you know, chivalry. A secondary rasa. Jambavan got to serve Krishna that way. And it went on, if my memory is right, 30 days and nights non-stop. With their club, with trunks of trees. I don't know how trunks of trees got in the cave, but trunks of trees, big boulders, then fists. 30 days. Jambavan got pooped out. But he never knew the limit of his strength, and now he's finding the limit of his strength. And then a little light went on. Whoa. This is not an ordinary person. I mean, of course he's not an ordinary person. He was effulgent. But somehow he didn't recognize anything. He just, why? Attached. Like Kunti, saying that she was attached. Or, another nice example is Devahuti. Who's Devahuti? Devahuti is the mother of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Kapila. 8 chapters of the Bhagavatam are responsive to her question that's right on this topic. My husband left, Kardamoni. We've been together for tens of thousands of years. Not just, you know, I've been married for some number of years. Tens of thousands of years. And he's perfected soul. He's a pure devotee. He's a mystic. You can't get higher than Kardamoni. And he's gone. I'm feeling attachment. And I know the philosophy, if you could say it like that, I know I'm not this body. I know I'm not this body. I know the philosophy. Ahambra Masmi, right? Check the box. But I'm feeling feelings of attachment, and I don't know how to overcome them. My intelligence is bewildered. My mind is disturbed. And I know it's your illusory energy. I know the philosophy, but I can't get free from that illusory energy. It's your illusory energy, you put it there. Can you take it away, please? Can you help me? Help. Helpless. Same message as we heard first evening, Friday. Helpless. Kapila Dev, I like this, he smiled mildly. Vishwanath says, he was thinking, he knows the Supreme Lord's mind. That's Vishwanath's caliber. He was thinking, Devahuti, why are you speaking like this? You're my mother. You're a pure devotee. I've taken birth as your son. You know, you're asking this for the benefit of others. So, to please you, my dear beloved devotee, I'll respond. And the whole section, big section, is to answer that question. It's right on the detached caring, because there's a tendency, Devahuti, Jambavan, Queen Kunti, following the inspiration of the Supreme Lord within their heart, they're exhibiting as if they're one of us, but they're not. So if they're exhibiting because they're not, although they're not, what about us? There's a attachment tendency. It's deep. False ego. So Kapila, she says later on, he gives this whole long explanation, then she says, wait a minute. She didn't use that language. Wait a minute. Is it really possible? I mean, how long have we been involved in the material energy? And even if you go up with knowledge and you feel some detachment, the modes of nature pull one back down again. We've all experienced it. Some realization, some appreciation, some, wow, this higher consciousness is within my reach. And then, look in any direction, you find the material energy. We've been involved in this so long. I know the philosophy, but is it really possible to go beyond attachment? Because you said yes, and he says yes, by bhakti. Because bhakti can dissolve the false ego and the subtle body. What's that like? That's detached caring on the topic. And one last point. I'm expecting, looking to see if Shubra is here. Is she here? No. Huh? Is she around? She's on her way. Probably. Okay. I wanted her to say something. If she comes in late and I don't notice, somebody alert me. We touched on the topic yesterday, but on the good intention, but still in the illusory position, is a phrase that she has coined, is the rescuer mentality. Compassion with attachment. Attachment to doership. Attachment to I'm going to care and I'm going to do it consciousness. It's good, kind of. But it's limited, because when you're thinking in false ego, your intelligence, the intelligence is bewildered. You can't make the right decisions about how to be Krishna's instrument in whatever the situation is that you have some caring. Whether it's a family member, a friend, or the world, or there was somebody that went on and on yesterday after the feast about, you know, the terrible condition of the world today, and this and that, suffering, and what to do, and why, and you know, really stuck. Doership. Rescuer mentality. It was really stuck. And so it happens. We can also get stuck. And if we're not introspective, we'll stay stuck. Although the intention may be good. Attached caring. Don't go the other side. Don't go, you know, this extreme, that extreme. And come to the position of pure devotion. From Bhagavad Gita, chapter 2, text 44. Bhogaishvarya prasaktanam taya paritta chetasam yavasayatmika bodhir samadhau na vidhiyate. Important verse. Bhoga and Aishvarya. Prasaktanam. One who is attached to those things. In the minds of those who are too attached to sense enjoyment and material opulence, and who are bewildered by such things, taya paritta chetasam, the resolute determination for devotional service, this vyavasayatmika buddhi, to the Supreme Lord does not take place. So that's an impediment too much. There has to be some attachment, or you're dead. There has to be some affection, or you're dead. But we're not dead, we're souls. So try to extinguish, make it zero. It's not sustainable, it's not real. There's no such thing. We're alive. So one other reference, and then I'll end, is a foundational, I find, a foundational verse in Prahlad's teachings. I spent a whole bunch of time covering a whole seminar on Prahlad's teachings, and the first teaching of his teachings to his father, to his teachers, to the students, and there's a long section of teachings, the foundational one, my words, is to his father. The very first time, he's a little boy, just going to school of Shanda in America, and affectionate, for a little while, affectionate demon, asks his son, what's the best thing that you've learned? Let's chant together. Tat sadu manye suravarya dehinam samdha samudvigna diyam asat rahat hidvatma patam griham andakupam vanam gato yad dharim ashrayeta. So this verse connects with the message I'm trying to share, and that is two parts, basically, I and mine. Dehinam, there's Prabhupada's words. I'm not a Sanskrit scholar. There's dehi and there's deha. There's the body and there's the one who has one. A dehi, the possessor of a body. So those dehinam, plural, those that have bodies, no problem, have a body. You know, like get a paring knife and cut it off. It's not the problem. Having a body is not itself the problem, but attachment, undue attachment to the body, that's the problem. So that's asat grahat. Asat is temporary, and grahat, the root of it is griha, means home, but it means, it's explained, it's all the things connected with mine. My home, my spouse, my children, my paraphernalia, my bank balance, my debts, my taxes, my bills, mine. Why is it mine? Because it comes from me. And who am I? Body. And too much attached. So those who are too much attached to I and mine, samudvigna, dhyam, di, means intelligence. And such a person, their intelligence is samudvigna. Prabhupada is translated as filled with anxiety. So it's the opposite of Vaikuntha. is Kunta, or Sumudvigna. And when the intelligence, exactly what Devahuti said, I know philosophy, but I'm headed in this attachment direction. Intelligence is meant to guide the mind, and mind is meant to guide the senses, and the path of bhakti is open when the intelligence is purified, the mind becomes purified, the senses become purified, and the intention of the soul to please Krishna is fulfilled. But we'll lose that. If we're too much attached to I and mine. So then the caring capacity, that's natural. Good persons are caring. Some people don't care. But good persons care. It's natural. Some touch of mode of goodness. There's some caring. It's good. Too much attachment to I and mine, not good. And then he uses a metaphor. Such a person is like one who has fallen into this andha kupam, Prabhupada has called it a dark well, and in a place where there's no water and only misery. And such a person should leave, become detached, because he can't tell dad, you got to become Vishnu Bhakta. I mean, he does that later. Dharim ashrayeta, become detached from the temporary and take shelter of your enemy. I mean, take shelter of Hari, who he has already taken this vow, he's my enemy. Rani Kashyapu didn't want to hear that one. But the rest of his teachings, having spent a lot of time with this, the elements of the rest of his teachings are found embedded in this one. And then it's just like taking cotton fibers from a cotton ball, and it just holds this one, holds that one, puts them together, makes a giwik. The illumination that comes from transcendental knowledge. So the path of Shuddha Bhakti is meant for us. Summary. Eligibility for that path is not too much on this side, not too much on that side. There's a tendency to be too much on this side or too much on that side. So we have to be wary of that tendency. For devotees, my experience is the rescuer consciousness tendency is stronger. False ego operating, karta, aham. I'm going to do it without details. Even with self-improvement, we get some teaching, we go, wow, that's a good teaching, I'm going to go off and do it. And then we forget the connection with where we heard it from. Prahlad doesn't. He's got that connection with Narada. Even in the most difficult of circumstances, he doesn't forget the teaching, nor the source of the teaching, and his shelter in that source of the teaching. Hint, that helps you maintain remembrance of the teaching. The source of where that teaching came from. And in our case, here he is, our founder Acharya, for the whole of ISKCON. There may be many Acharyas. He is the founder Acharya. He is the special person for all the members of ISKCON. And therefore, we have fidelity to teachings that come from him. Naturally. As Prahlad says, how can I go anywhere besides Narada? He's given me life. He's given me everything. How could I accept something and in that way forget Narada? No way. If I had more of Narada's association, then I could learn how to be a better servant of you. So give me more of Narada's association. That would be great. But it's so attachment to Krishna unfolds because it's natural, and attachment to those who are helping us become attached to Krishna. That's also natural. And detachment is impersonal. A little Prabhupada story, I'll end. I heard this from, I won't give his name, one of the devotees who was with Prabhupada in the early days in Mayapur. And in the early days in Mayapur, those of you who have been to Mayapur know, across the street from, on our side and across the street, there's shops everywhere. It's like a bazaar. It's bizarre and a bazaar. But there was a time when there wasn't anything. In fact, you could walk out the front gate and the Ganges was only a little distance away, but to get to the Ganges, there was the Bhakti Siddhanta Road and then this little cliff, kind of like a drop-off little section. And there wasn't stairs or anything like that. So Prabhupada wanted to take a bath in the Ganges, so a group of devotees went, and one of the devotees got below Prabhupada and held up his arm so that Prabhupada could make his way down that embankment to get to the level land and go take bath in the Ganga. When they got to the bottom, this strong American devotee holding up his arm, Prabhupada pushed his arm out of the way. And the devotee said, Did I offend Prabhupada? I don't know what I did. He said, Prabhupada, did I do something wrong? And he said, this is impersonalism. You take help from the guru, and after you have taken help from the guru, you throw him away. This is impersonalism. Impersonalism is you don't do that. Now, what's the right kind of attachment? It has to be the connecting with Krishna attachment, not the material side of attachment, because that's easy to do. The transcendental one is attachment that through thick and thin, he's everything. Just like the prayer that we heard Prahlad say, you're everything. There's nothing else between us. You're the master, I'm the servant. There's nothing else. That helps one get to this detached, caring position. Then Krishna can give vyavasayatmika buddhi. He can give the intelligence how to reach Krishna and how to please Krishna without the coloration of a mind that has a mix of material attachment. That's the picture. It's not easy to get there, but the path to get there is open. The invitation is being presented by Krishna to Uddhava. I'm expecting some discussion on this delicate topic. Dravida wants to add something here.
First of all, this word udvigna comes up again and again. I was thinking of the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna is describing the sthita dimuni dukeshvan udvigna manak dukeshu vigataspraha. That udvigna is there. He describes the one who is not disturbed even amidst the threefold miseries. And then in Prahlad's prayers, this naiva udvijay, says, I'm not at all disturbed because anywhere I want, I can immerse my mind Krishna Katha and the, detached. But what I wanted to ask you was this whole idea of being, as you quoted at the beginning, yodhichayama katado, that not too attached and not too detached. In other words, not at the extremes, then he's a good candidate. So, but in the second chapter, it seems like when Krishna is describing and Arjuna wants to know what is the characteristic of one who is fixed in intelligence, sthita di, sthita pragya. It all seems to be really extreme, like prajahati yada kama and sarvan parta manogatan, not a trace of material desire, completely satisfied in the self. And then the real clincher is yaksarvatna anabhisneha, not having any affection or really attachment in this world, and being, it just seems to be completely on the side of being without any attachment. Now maybe he's describing there at the pure level I'm not sure exactly how to deal with it, but it seems it's right at the beginning. It's in the second chapter. So how do we integrate that into this statement where it's, well, not too detached, not too attached, and you're a good candidate then?
Well, the integration is, this is a beginning.
This is the beginning.
Yeah, the not too much
is
the beginning. But in the conclusion, the attachment is fully spiritualized. Krishna's pleasure is everything. And the detachment is fully spiritualized. Krishna's pleasure is everything.
I think, is that what we started with Kunti, where she finally says, cut off and just...
Yes. She's already there, but she's speaking as if she's not. So yes, take away the material portion. But, you know, what does that look like? I wanted to tell two Prabhupada stories. One of them I heard from Hari Sori. And, during a car ride from Vrindavan to Delhi, or maybe it was the other way, Delhi to Vrindavan, on the side of the road was a fatal car accident. And you know how it is in India, cars still crashed for half a day, and there was a body dismembered on the side by the car. And the devotees were going, And Prabhupada was, you know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. As if totally unaffected. Then way over on this side is something Devamrita Maharaj shared confidentially. There was some discussion about Prabhupada's view on black people. And, you know, this quote, that quote. And that showed, you know, some not healthy, one might think, politically correct kind of respect for black people, persons of color. Devamrita Maharaj said, in Detroit, Prabhupada called Premarnava Prabhu, one of Prabhupada's disciples, black devotee, with tears in his eyes, saying, please do something for your people. I mean, that was, you know, a phrase that in Prabhupada's heart was compassion for everyone. Although he would sometimes say things and even sometimes write things, what was in his heart? Not. It was affection. But affection, no. I don't have the qualification to say when Prabhupada spoke like this, what was his intention? Like a similar one, Prabhupada saying to Bhakti Tirtha Swami, racial discrimination in this organization is not good, but it should not disturb you, otherwise you know better than them. You're on the bodily platform. So don't be on. If you want to make a difference, get off the bodily platform and be the acharya, the example of someone who's not on the bodily platform. Now, you can be aware that that's there, just like Prabhupada is aware that the dismembered body lying on the side of the road. And how unfortunate. I mean, I can't even imagine what that looked like and what an ordinary person, compassionate person would feel. Now, why he exhibited that, I can't say. Not that he didn't care. He cared. But, you know, cared with attachment to that degree. But maybe it was instructive. I can't say his intention. But I have faith that he's fully connected with Supersoul and did things that he did that were instructive for his disciples again and again and again and again and again and again and again. He was never moved by the modes of nature. It was always instructive in some way or another. Every situation. Every situation. Sometimes like fire, sometimes very gentle. not out of attachment, to help those who he was leading go to Krishna. So the beginning stage is not too much. And in the purified stage is not at all. Not at all material attachment or detachment. Then pure devotion, fully attached to Krishna. Thinking of another example I really like in relation to your question. Sudama Brahman, the commentary says he was so poor that the bones in his body and the ribs on his chest or stomach were protruding, and his wife felt terrible. She was austere like him, but she couldn't stand to see her husband in this condition. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, wait a minute. Some people ask, if he's Krishna's devotee, why did he leave him in such a destitute condition? And the answer he provides is, there are two kinds of detachment. One of them is, you're indifferent. And another was his. He really just didn't want, because he felt, I will be tempted if I receive, and so better to not have. And that was his heart. That was his mood. Krishna reciprocated with his mood. He didn't interfere with his mood. And then when he went to see Krishna, because of his affection for his wife, not inordinate affection, but affection for his wife, when he came back, he was thinking, Krishna is so kind. He didn't even ask me why I came, because he knew why I came, and I'm a Brahmin, I'll have to say why I came, and then when I say, he'll give me, and then I'll become attached, and I think, oh, I'm special in Krishna's relationship, and so he didn't even ask. Krishna's so kind. Krishna's so kind, all the way back. It's a long walk from Dwarka to where he lived, Prabandar. Krishna was so kind. When he came to his house, the house wasn't there, it was a palace. And then when he realized what happened, Krishna was so kind. But it's said that he continued to live sleeping on the floor, not living, because that was his spirit. He's just in a relationship with Krishna, without it, without too much and too little, just that. But and Krishna didn't interfere. So different acharyas, different pure devotees are going to conduct their lives in different ways. That's fine. It would be pretty boring if it wasn't like that. There's diversity. It's fine. Pure devotion is the key. So not too much is the beginning, and not at all is later. And then there's this reciprocation on the spiritual platform between Krishna and his pure devotee. Yes, Subal.
Guru Maharaj, when in studying Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, you get a lot of the message that balance is, a aspect of Krishna consciousness. It's a symptom of Krishna consciousness to be able to hit that balance between different things, vidya and avidya, detachment and attachment, so all these things, to be able to function with balance. Now, I was struck by what you presented, that's what gives one qualification to receive bhakti, or is the eligibility to receive bhakti.
Adhikar.
Now, would that be, because I always think of that balance as something extremely elevated, because it's so difficult to actually hit that balance. In fact, when we read Vidya and Avidya, that mantra 11 in Sri Upanishad, you qualify for immortality if you reach that balance. So is that balance that you refer here is have to do with that nasochatina kanchatina bhaktin labhate param, that Brahma-Bhuta stage, and then that's when you qualify or you're ready for then now devotional service, bhakti begins? So is that, am I on the, you know, something there?
My mind was distracted by your repetition of the use of the word balance. Because I said earlier, now I'll have to repeat it. I'm not so comfortable. That's a nice, you know, modern phrase. Not so comfortable with this notion of balance. That's like one foot in one boat, another foot in another boat, and trying to cross the river. Now, that's not advisable. Jagatananda Pandit says, don't do that. So how do you put both feet in the bhakti boat? Not balance. It's honesty with where I am. That's in this 11th canto. Be honest with where you are. Know what the goal is. Strive for the goal. Recognizing this attachment that I have that's on the material side is going to bring complications. And I recognize that. But in honesty, I have this, so it's not exactly balance, it's self-honesty. Let me continue to strive for the goal. Now you can backstep and say, well, yeah, that sounds like balance to me. I think it's self-honesty. And we're continuing to strive for the goal. Shuddha. Anyabhilashita shunyam gyanakarma dinavatam. And the strength to do that is anukulyena krishnanushilanam. Kavita paraphrased it very nicely the other day. So, the horse pulls the cart. The horse is striving for Shuddha Bhakti. And that pulls the cart. So now what's in the cart? Well, let's be self-honest, and this is my situation. And I'm going to strive to keep with the horse that pulls the cart. With faith that I'll get there, I'll get to the destination, because it's a good horse, the bhakti horse. And I'm striving for that. Then we can go back and say, well, that's balance. Now, I say it's not exactly balance. It's faith in bhakti, and that'll take you to where you want to go. Now, I have to manage my situation of life. But that na sochati, na kangsati is not balance. Na sochati, na kangsati. Now, there may be a preliminary stage. I'm not fully in the na sochati, na kangsati. That's what this verse is. Not too much, not too much. So I'm managing the situation, but the faith goes to the bhakti process. And I'm continuing to strive. Continuing to strive means I don't, you know, say in our vernacular, I don't space out. I mean, the tendency is to space out. The tendency is to go back to the default position of attachment. And that's not bhakti. But that's the tendency. So this is intermittent, my understanding is, I invite Kavita to comment, but this Brahma-Bhuta stage, you can be on it and off it, and on it and off it, and vacillate back and forth. That's anishta to bhakti. Because my faith is stronger and sometimes weaker. But I want to sustain the path to the goal, because the goal is clear. Those that don't have clarity about the goal. Natte vidu swartha katimi Vishnu. They're in this other place, asatgrahat. Attachment to the temporary. Okay. Not just let me balance my attachment to the temporary. Let me take an honest position that suits me. And if I'm going to be a brahmachari, let me be a brahmachari. If I'm going to be a sannyasi, let me be a sannyasi. If I'm going to be a grihastha, let me be a grihastha, not a grihamedi. Not balancing between my grihamedi and grihastha tendencies. Let me strive. And then devotional service begins. That interesting phrase that comes every now and then. Because then devotional service begins means, my understanding is, Shuddha Bhakti becomes manifest. Because Bhakti is Shuddha. And the preliminary is preliminary. Now, very generously, Lord Chaitanya's teaching is, even in the sadhana stage of Bhakti, if the goal is Shuddha Bhakti, that counts as Bhakti. It's part of Bhakti. That's Shuddha. Bhakti or Uttama. Uttama Bhakti includes sadhana, provided one is clear what the goal is, and you're striving for the goal. Although there's some attachment and there's some detachment, undue amount. I get off the center of the road. Start heading for the ditch. Sometimes fall in the ditch. But Krishna picks me up, or Krishna's devotee, and being the instrument of Krishna, picks me up, puts me back in the middle of the road, and, helps me continue without lamentation. It's Krishna, through the agency of his sound vibrations and his devotees and stuff. So we follow that path. And then pure devotional service. We're eligible candidate through that association. This Yadrich Chayat in the commentary is the pure devotee. There he is. Members of ISKCON need to feel a connection with Prabhupada. We can feel the connection with Prabhupada if we read regularly and hear his teachings and appreciate the life that he led to teach us by example and his words. But become attached to him. That's the Yadrich Chaya. Then Mat Katha Dao, etc. Back in the corner, it's 10 minutes to the hour.
Hi, Krishna. In one of your responses, you were talking about Sudama's mood that I don't want this wealth because of, out of his humility, he was concerned that that would be a source of contamination. So I was thinking then, especially when we're far from that position of humility and still very much in the early stages of our process of bhakti yoga, is there a place for aversion as a means of protection?
Sure. You put up fences because you want to protect the young creeper of bhakti. That's advisable.
So then, in that sense, aversion is not, I guess I'm trying to reconcile that concept with, it's not aversion nor attachment, it's just in relation to Krishna.
Yeah. Okay. So let's say a bhakta leader, or let's say, you're a grihastha, and you and your wife have met some people, and they're new. So you're going to be a little protective of those new people. You want them to not bump into somebody who's, you know, nutcase or, you know, egoistic, bully type of person. You want to protect them. And that they would want to be protected, that's good. So it can be in Krishna service. You know, one of the strategies for Western outreach these days that's kind of growing is cultivate people outside in an atmosphere that's they're comfortable with, because when they come to the temple and, you know, they put their Bhagavad Gita on the floor and somebody comes and whacks them and says, you know, you don't do that or something. So, you know, you cultivate the seed of bhakti carefully. It has its place. So then by the time they, in this Western outreach model, when they come to the temple, they're already have their faith in bhakti, particularly because of the person that's been giving, nurturing bhakti for them and help them through their the attachments and conceptions and stuff. They're okay. So somebody comes along and says, don't put your Bhagavad Gita on the floor. What's wrong with you? Follow the standards. Or whatever. Pay obeisances, Prabhu. Or whatever. Whatever. Oh, they just see? Anyway, whatever it is. The bhakti creeper is sufficiently nourished. And if they have a bad experience or have some question they see, they don't know what the heck with that. Or somebody, some bad behavior or something like that. They have a person to go to. Their faith is sufficient. So in the beginning, there's some appropriateness for that. A sense around the little seedling. Because we don't want, you know, animals to come and eat the little seedling. We put a fence around it. And then after the seedling becomes mature, take the fence away, no problem.
So yeah. Then it's not a matter of aversion, it's just a clear conception of receiving guidance of what's appropriate to facilitate that.
Yes, from the position of one who's extending care to another, now take it autobiographical, is there some place for me? The same logic follows. In the beginning, it's natural. It's not pure, but it's natural. And the different personality is going to exhibit that in different ways. But it's the purpose is to protection. I have this newfound attraction for bhakti, and there's all these other distractions out there. You know, without naming the categories and varieties of distractions. And I'm cautious about it. Because if I fall into the trap of, here's an example. There's one devotee I know who was invited to come to a high school reunion at his school at the something or other year. So he went, and he fell down. And his old girlfriend was there, and they got together, and boo-hoo, you know, he had a problem. So should he have gone more carefully, or maybe he shouldn't have gone? You know, it depends on... There's variables. I've been invited to those things, and I don't even respond. Because I don't want to risk it. You know, because they'll not see a devotee like a devotee. They'll see like, hey, You know. And so, I don't want to risk it. Maybe I'd be just fine. Maybe somebody out there would become a devotee. I'm not going to risk it. I chose to not risk it for protecting my devotional creeper. Maybe not necessary. For me, I just made that decision to protect the bhakti creeper, to put a fence around. Not even getting answer those things, etc. Last question up front, and we're going to close up.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, my question is about caring that you discussed. Sometimes we are in situations where we may not be able to act, but prayer is one of the means of caring. So in those kind of
situations... Thank you, I meant to speak about this. Go ahead.
In those kind of situations, the person sometimes label us as being insensitive or hard-hearted because they expect us to act, but we are not in a position to act. So
I'm familiar with the territory.
So can you please...
We our life is to please Krishna. And we want to please Krishna, and it may be necessary to do this or to do that, or not do this or not do that, not according to another person's expectation, but for pleasing Krishna. Now if someone is displeased, and then they think, you are bad or your religion is bad because you're not doing this and I'm expecting you to do this. A good person would do this. So what kind of organization are you with anyways? You know, that's the judgmental. Then you have to make a decision. I know somebody that's in exactly that situation and it's really painful. Because the expectation of the other person is against their own conscience. They can't do that. And then the other person is going to reject them and reject Krishna and ISKCON and everything. They have to act according to their conscience. Some relative, blah, blah, blah. It's not easy. But pleasing Krishna is the goal. That's the gold standard. And if we're attached, do we want the doership, then I have to do what the person wants because otherwise they're going to think badly about me or badly about Krishna or badly about the organization. You have to go beyond that and look beyond that. What would Krishna want me to do? You may not have the answer, but ask the question. And that's the path you should follow. And then you know, persons that are guiding you in your Krishna consciousness. Be wise in selecting people that are guiding you in Krishna consciousness. They should be people that are qualified and not attached, but caring. That Krishna should be pleased. And have wisdom. That's a special person. And you know, try to become such a person yourself. That's a challenge. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.